Welcome to Unapologetically Abundant Podcast. I'm your host, Petya Kolibova, that love coach who helps corporate women who have been pushed down and back due to traumatic relationship or childhood trauma in their past, which has caused them to see themselves not in a bright light that makes them people please and not show up the way they know they are capable of showing up. My mission is to help women who are on the path to heal from their past wounds, move through their limiting beliefs and internal blocks so they can guide other women through online coaching, which is that deep down what they are feeling they really want to do instead of sitting in their corporate job. Each week I will be offering an interview or an idea that will support you to leave behind what isn't serving you anymore and create a life filled with freedom, abundance, and purpose. No more hiding, no more waiting. The time to take care of yourself, to uplevel your life, is now. Hi everyone, thank you so much for tuning in today's episode. Today I have with me, to my heart, really special, a blessed sister, Lori Harder. Lori is a leader in facilitating transformation through mindfulness, fitness, and self-love. She helps people lock in transformation by teaching how to create lasting relationships that support their goals in a long term. As a successful entrepreneur, she's running two seven-figure businesses, network marketing professional, number one best-selling author, TEDx speaker, 10-time cover model, and 3-time fitness world champion. She offers a carefully curated set of practical tools to promote sustainable health, spiritual well-being, and emotional thriving. She's the creator of the Top 100 Earn Your Happy podcast with more than 7 million downloads, the founder of the Bliss Project event with thousands of women who have attended, and author of upcoming book, The Tribe Called Bliss. Throughout her career, Lori has regularly appeared on the covers and published articles of Oxygen Magazine, Strong Fitness Magazine, Marie Claire Health and Fitness Magazine, and Prosper Magazine. She has also been featured on NBC, Fox, OWN, TLC networks. Thank you so much, Lori, for making the time.
Thank you for having me on your show. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. And one quick update was that you did launch your book, and it's so incredibly amazing.
Oh, thank you.
It's, I got out before we hopped on recording. I share with you real quickly how transformational the Bliss Project was for me. And it didn't start there. It was almost 2 years ago when I was working for other podcasters, managing his social media. And I was looking what other podcasters are doing. And here we go. I go on Facebook, see your beautiful smile in a white kitchen holding a mug of coffee. I was like, who is this lady? And I gotta admit, when I tune into your podcast, the first episode, I started up like, you know, like just picking up the house, cleaning the house. I ended up sitting on a bathroom floor and bawling.
Oh,
in a good way, because you were so open and vulnerable and sharing who you are, where are you coming from? And it really spiked in me something that I know you are inspiring in many other women. If she can do this, I can do it. And it's so powerful.
Oh, I love hearing that, because I think that when we all start out on anything, that's what we hope. But then there's a big period where you don't get to hear any feedback.
Absolutely.
Is this landing or so? Yeah. And that's the journey, right? Just that blank space where you don't know how it's landing and if people are responding to it, and being okay with whatever is.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, Lori, because I know your journey, because I've been stalking you for the last 2 years. But in a good way. But for those who hear about you for the first time, Can you just briefly describe your journey from, you know, where you're coming from, your family, your background, to now living a fulfilling life?
You know, and thank you for that. And thank you for the beautiful intro. I am from a really small town. So I'm from Upper Michigan, which the closest thing that place that you would actually call a city was about 3 hours away, that I could actually say had a shopping mall. So way up in the woods, and I was homeschooled through high school. My family was overweight. All of them were overweight. We struggled. According to my family, it was our genetics. So I was told my whole life that I would also struggle with my weight. And I was also raised in a what's considered a more restrictive religion. So it was a really isolating childhood, which can be looked at as a good thing, but not necessarily if you want to do something outside of your religious, you know, structure or agreements that you're raised within. And for me, I knew that I had a calling. I think I really truly believe that we all know that we have something that needs to be shared. But we can tend to listen to stories early on and let them get muted out. And for me, there was a lot of that, a lot of muting and suppression. But at the same time, it's like I still always felt that calling. And I believe that I felt it because I found fitness. And the reason I found fitness was because I struggled so much with my weight. And also, at a really young age, I could tell that I struggled emotionally as well. And I think so much of that, looking back, is related to the food that I was eating, to the lack of movement, and to my environment. So what happened is my older sister, who was a teenager at the time, I think, you know, when this all happened, I was even watching her at like 8 years old, getting into like different fitness things because she also struggled with weight. So she had bought some workout VHS tapes and I would watch her work out and be like, huh, I think that I could maybe do that too. Like, I think maybe I could have some control over what's going on. And so I started working out to these VHS tapes and noticed that when I would work out on those days, I felt better. I was in a better mood. I felt like I had a little bit more control over my food and what I was doing and thinking and eating. So that's really the thing that cracked me open to fitness being a way to potentially have a say in the matter. And maybe what everybody was saying to me didn't have to be the truth about me always struggling, or this is what life was going to look like. And even moving forward with fitness, really realizing that I had control in that matter, made me start looking at other parts of my life. Like, do I have you know, control potentially over financial struggle? Do I have control over potentially the way that I show up in my relationships? And that was all later on, but it's all stemming from one particular thing, and that was really opening up with fitness.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And you know, after reading your book, I'm wondering what was the feedback from your family? Because you share very openly some very vulnerable things as a woman, your deep, you know, journey and lessons. And how did your family react on your book?
Well, this, my family and I have had we've been on a long journey of kind of like rebuilding or even building a relationship, because I think the one that we had wasn't very communicative. It wasn't very open. I think a lot of families can probably relate to that, especially if you're raised in a really religious background. A lot of times there's a lot of things that aren't being said, or things that a lot of people are feeling that aren't being said. And I don't think that actually has anything to do with religion either. I think there's just a lot of suppression in the world in general, because we never learned how to communicate. If our parents weren't really communicators with their parents, then we probably never learned to communicate with them either. So there was a lot of things that were just buried in our family. And I think that's just about every family. I think that's why so many people relate to this book. Is because I think every family struggles. So when it's been a journey to try to create and repair our relationship. And, you know, there's been points where it's been really ugly, where we haven't talked or where we've been fighting. You know, and the relationship with my sister is still fairly strained. We don't really talk that much. And that's okay. I'm at peace with that. There's been a lot of work around that. But with my parents, we were in a place where they know I'm talking about this stuff and they know that I want a relationship with them and they want a relationship with me. And I want, like, I desire a close relationship with them because I've communicated that. But they also know that I'm on a journey of sharing my truth. So it kind of probably scares them. But when the book came out, it was a major challenge. I'm not going to lie, because about 2 weeks before it was released, I had never told them some of the stuff that was in there. That's how suppressed I was. So it was bubbling up because I'm like, oh my God. And this is so important for people to hear, because I really thought that I did the wrong thing with writing this book. I was like, I really thought that divinely I was being told to write this book. I really thought that this was my mission and my journey. But when it came time and the fear comes up, right? When the actual time comes, when you actually go to get on stage, when you actually go to launch your course, when you actually go to put your podcast out, all of this fear comes in and all of the self-doubt comes in, and everything that you felt or thought your mission or your purpose was for, that fear can come in and tell you that you made a huge mistake. And that's what was happening for me about 2 weeks before my book launch. And I was like, what am I doing? This is awful. I could be burning bridges of my family. This is the worst thing I've ever done. This is so selfish. Was I doing this for selfish reasons? Was I doing this for attention? I was just getting massive, like I was being attacked by my fear. So what ended up happening is I went on a walk. I couldn't even breathe. Like I was having an anxiety attack. And I was like, Mom, I have to tell you all this stuff. I haven't told you. My book is coming out. I had to get this up and out. Like, it was just like this word vomit. And it didn't go well. It did not go well at all on her end. It didn't go well on my end. It ended up about a 2-hour conversation of just tears and being really upset. And from there, we decided that we want to continue to work on it again. And even after the book is out, I don't even know if they've read the whole thing. I think they might've just read a couple chapters of it, and that's okay. Like, my story is my story and their version is their version. And we've come to agree with, like, we just always want to be getting better. And I think that, so I share that so openly. And I even tell my mom and dad this, that they're on a healing mission for people as well. Like, the more that we share our perspectives, and they're not wrong and I'm not wrong and they're not right and I'm not right. It's really like, I believe that it's all about getting your voice out, your mission out, getting your truth out, because I couldn't move forward without it. So I know that's just so up and down, but that's what the journey looks like. Like, I wish I could say, yeah, it was all awesome. I'm so glad I did it. Everything has been amazing, but it never is. And that's the awesome part as well. So it's been such a beautiful journey, and it's also been massively healing. And I think that it's only getting us closer and closer, to be honest, but we have to go through those really dark bumps in order to get to that place.
Yeah, I love that. And you know, also in your book, you share how your story really matters, how your story creates the ripple effect for others, you know, mm-hmm. because you show them that you overcame the odds and there is a hope for them. And that's what I feel like your book, your podcast, and all your work, like even your Event Boost project that I had the honor to be at last year, is really creating, showing different perspective, different people, and showing that there is a hope. Because I feel that, and let's be really honest, I feel like women, we are really suppressing who we are because we lose the touch with who we really are, because we are mother, we are wife, we are lover, we are employee, we are everything for everyone. Mm-hmm. And that inner voice, we are numbing it because we should do this, we should be good. And I know that that's something that you also share in your book. So could you, Lori, share something that helped you throughout your journey to find who you really are when you're not everything for everyone?
You know, I think that we can get into like martyrdom syndrome really easy, because we can think that I don't have time to know who I really am, or I don't even have time to figure out what that is because I'm taking care of so many people. And it's the truth, but it's also something that we can stop, that we're not going to stop being loved if we start paying attention to ourselves. And I think that we believe that, you know, that if we start taking care of ourselves or putting ourselves first, that means we won't be putting others first, and that means we'll be a bad person. That means we will be a bad woman, a bad girl, a bad mom, a bad sister, a bad friend. And we're so afraid of what people think that we're willing to drive ourselves into the ground. And actually, and I want people to really get this, we are willing to resent our loved ones so that we don't have to risk looking bad in the eyes of outsiders. So we will risk resenting our loved ones so that we don't risk looking bad in the eyes of outsiders. So it's really a moment of needing to stop caring as much about people's opinions and actually get to the heart of what really matters to you. What is important for you to do on this planet? What is important for you to be remembered by, right? What has to come up and out? How do you want your children to be raised? How do you want them to remember you? Because I'll tell you, my mom had this syndrome, and I think that about all of my friends that I talk to whose mothers are around my mom's age, it was very much, you know, they stayed home, they took care of the kids, but there's a lot of resentment towards being just moms who raise, which there's nothing wrong with being just a mom. It's freaking amazing. But what I heard over and over growing up is like, I gave up my life for you. I did this, I did that. When I don't think that's how it should be. I think a mother is still this woman who has incredible things that need to come out, incredible wisdom, incredible talents, incredible gifts, and just really nurturing herself. Because I think that the best gift that a woman can give, whether she's a mother or a wife or a best friend or, you know, an employee, is to be happy. And I think at the end of the day, we can say that about our moms too. And I think we could say that about our sisters. And I think we can say that about, you know, what we want for our kids is to look back and say, wow, I had a really happy mom. Yeah, she might not have been to every single soccer game, but she wasn't crying all the time, or she wasn't upset, or she wasn't resentful, or she didn't seem depressed. And that's the opposite of suppressing yourself and not knowing who you are. It just is. The opposite is depression, anxiety, suppression. And our family feels that. Our loved ones feel that. So I think the biggest gift we can give to our loved ones is to put ourselves first and start exploring what would make us happy. And sometimes that question seems so big that the easiest thing that you can do is to say, what would bring me joy today? What am I curious about? Do I just need to connect with a friend and talk out where I'm at and see how I'm feeling? But if you don't support yourself, no one else will. So nobody can do that for you. No amount of crying to someone can do what just some support around your emotions can do. So I think following your curiosities is huge. That's been a really big one for me. It's like, okay, I think I want to write a book. I don't know how to write a book. Okay, what would a person who wants to write a book go and do first? Well, they'd research it. They'd probably talk to some authors. They'd probably go and look it up online. They'd probably just start writing anything. So I think action is one of the most important things that we can do. Confidence does not come before action. Action comes before confidence. So I think feeling confident in who you are and what your direction is going to take a whole lot of uncertain action.
I love that. It's so true. I feel like we really learn about who we are when we go out and try it. It's this contract, like, oh, heck no, I don't want to experience this anymore. That means that I would rather be doing this. So I really love that you just take a lot of uncertain action. And even if you don't know how yet, you show up. And I remember also in your book, you were mentioning that when you launched your first Bliss project, instead of feeling this like fulfillment and happiness, you were depressed and you were so tired because you were overworking. So I was wondering, was it because you, in that moment when you did it, you were accomplishing the goals you set, but you were not being yourself unapologetically?
There's a couple, that's such a good question. There's parts of that that are true, but there's a couple things I really look back and I can see that I was doing. I was creating a space for women to connect and to collaborate. And I was, you know, feeling really fulfilled by creating something that I wanted, but I was not supporting my own self in those connections and collaborations. So you can have, this is where it's just, it's such an interesting like dichotomy contrast, because it's double standard. It's beautiful. It's like everything in life. You can have a women's event. You can have all of these women showing up to do exactly what you're doing, but you can feel completely lonely because you're not doing it. You're the person who is running everything. So here I am alone on stage, running everything, watching women connect, stressing myself out, selling tickets to this thing that I really actually want to be attending, you know, and having the connections. But I wasn't supporting myself in that way because I wasn't yet willing to get vulnerable one-on-one like that. So I was creating exactly what I needed without letting myself be in it.
I'm laughing because I was taking a note that we create what we need the most, and you just said,
yes, absolutely. So
it feels like, because when you look around, we really bring the people who will help us on our journey to become our highest self, and not always those people will be what we want.
Yeah.
They will be what we need, and then when you look back, you're like, oh, okay. And even with our projects in life, we create what we really need.
We do. And you got to make sure, if you're going to do it, that you put yourself in the center of it sometimes, not on the outside.
That's a great tip. And also, I wanted to dive a little bit deeper on, because I know that you moved from, you know, the town, you went to California, you started to working, then you met your husband, Chris. I believe, is it 16 years already?
16 years I've known him.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a long time. So let me ask you, because you mentioned a couple of times on interviews and I think also on stage that you went through the phase when you had everything, lost everything, and now you're at a place that you are truly living your fulfilled life. What were some steps that you had to take to go from losing it all to really create lasting, like, you know, lasting income, lasting relationships?
There are so many steps. I would say the biggest thing is getting to an emotional place where you feel better, because you cannot, you know, after losing everything and thinking life is over and just a really bleak place, right? Like maybe we were just lucky, or maybe we were being stupid and we lost everything. And, you know, 'cause the recession hit and he was in the financial world. And I think that you have to climb your way to an emotional state that is just energetically good. Now, when I say good, I'm not saying great, because it's tough to get to a really high place when you're that low. But we don't have our creative capacity if we're not in a good emotional state. We really shut down. So one of the most important things that you can do is, number one, you have to believe you're never cut off from the number one source of creativity and of just where all of the ideas flow from. That's God, source, universe, whatever you believe. So getting right, getting really solid in that belief that you, he, she, it, whatever you believe, does not ever turn his back on you. It's us turning our back on him. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was saying, okay, this is always here. What am I doing right now that's making me believe that I am not being, or that I'm not connected? So I've done a lot of work around, no matter what's going on in my external world, no matter how I'm feeling, no matter how dark it is, we're always connected and we're always going to be taken care of if we believe that. But it's up to us to the level of what we're open to the ideas, you know, mm-hmm. and if we're willing to do the work. Because I believe ideas are just being downloaded left and right now, but they're being given to the people who are making sure they're getting to a good emotional state and that they're saying yes. They're saying yes and they're ready to do the work. So get to a place where you feel good, where you have faith, and where you're ready to do some work. And that's when you're going to be able to start opening up to little ideas that don't even seem like the idea. And that's another thing to understand is you rarely, it's so rare that I don't know if I've ever heard anyone say that they've gotten the idea that launched their life. It's a million little ideas. It's a, you know, it's a workout. It's becoming a personal trainer at a crappy gym, becoming then opening, you know, this idea of a dream of opening a studio to, could I have this, I have this built in audience. Maybe I could talk to these women about mindset, to going, could I make this bigger? Okay. And then could I help these women make money as well? And they need to eat. Okay. I can do network marketing. Okay. That's awesome. All right. I'm loving this network marketing platform, but I want a huge platform for women to come to be empowered. Could I start to look at launching something like that? It's all different steps to one idea leads to another. So never judge your tiny ideas. If it lights you up, follow it. It's going to open the next door.
Oh, I love it. So follow what lights you up, because no matter where you are, it's really trusting that you are given everything that you need at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's back. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. So one last question, Lori. Let's say that there is a woman who hears about you for the first time, and she would love to know how to start right now to feeling better, because she is turning her life around. She's starting from zero. What would you tell her how she can feel better right now at this moment?
Go either find a group, join classes, reach out to people. I'm telling you, it's going to be hard to do this alone. You're probably not going to do it alone at a good rate. It is going to be years and it's going to be isolating. So go and get around people who are in a good emotional place or doing something or doing things in their life that they want to be doing. Because if you get into, or if you make sure that you have to show up somewhere where people are doing something that they're enjoying or creating something, your whole life will change. Your emotional state will change. You're going to feel a million times better. So even if that's just joining people for workouts or doing a class or doing something interactive with other human beings, it's the fastest way out of the place that you are in right now.
That's really great, because normally when life doesn't go as we want it to, we shut down.
Yeah.
We isolate ourselves, and then so many women are just numbing because it's easier and it gets more intense.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to feel hard. Like, I'm even in a place right now where I'm like, I need more touch points with people throughout the week. And I can emotionally tell, like, I have got to get around more people during the week thinking about big ideas. So I'm figuring that out right now on how to support myself. And I'm telling you, this journey never, ever ends, because I'm in a pivot right now. And I'm like, the pivot means I need a pivot of people and of my environment and of all the things that I'm thinking. So it's never, ever ending. So I'm in it right now with everybody else.
thank you for sharing that. So did the masterminds that you're attending and the personal development events and the network marketing help you with that, having those people, or is it more going somewhere in person about something you're passionate about?
That does help, but I'm telling you, if you, being an entrepreneur, you can be alone all week. I can talk to people all week long online. I can have amazing podcasts, which are fulfilling, right? But you cannot replace in-person contact with human beings.
Got it.
It's vital, you know? So it's very, very, and some people are great with it, but I have definitely gotten clear that for my soul, I need to be around more people. So this is just coming through for me the last, you know, couple months. Like, you must be around, create an environment where you're around more people during the week. It's important for me.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much. And thank you, Lori, for your time and your wisdom and pouring your heart in everything you're doing. If not earlier, I'm super excited to see you at Next Year Bliss. And I will make sure to leave in the show notes your website, your Instagram, your podcast, because everywhere you show up, it's always so much inspiration. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. You're an amazing host, and I'm so excited that I got to be on your show.
Thank you so much, Laura. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I'm excited to keep watching your journey.
Thank you so much.